This is Mark, and you are listening to Walnut Grovecast. I am on with Susan King, the great Susan King. How are you?
Hello. I'm wonderful. How is everybody? How are you?
And I'm great. And even though we just stopped recording before, we just thought we'd take this particular two-parter and break it up into two episodes. So.
There we go.
So we could spread out the love we have of Little House.
That's right.
So the last time that we were talking about Little House on the Prairie, we were covering Back to School Part 1. So with Part 1, you only have to assume that there is a Part 2.
Yes.
And here we are, and Ma's mad, and she's pulling Laura out of the school for a pretty good finger wagging. I think.
Mm-hmm. And Willie's in the corner.
Yes, of course. Where else would he be?
I just found out what happened last night.
Oh, the mistake?
The mistake. Am I to suppose that this label came off this can by mistake?
Oh!
No, ma'am.
How could you do such a thing deliberately?
I'm sorry.
I'm not the one to tell.
She didn't find the label, did she? She found the can without the label.
Right.
So there you go. What happened to the label?
Yeah.
We'll discuss your punishment later. First, you're going to apologize to Nellie.
Yes, ma'am.
That's a long walk across the street to Nellie's restaurant in Oakdale.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Waterworks.
Yeah, the tea will help.
What is that child doing here?
Oh,
Laura
God.
Has something to say to Nellie, Mrs. Olson. Laura?
Sorry, Nellie. Sorry for what I did.
And it was on purpose!
Duh.
Right?
Yes, it was.
What a cruel thing to do. If you were my child, I'd have you horsewhipped, young lady, within an inch of your life.
Laura will be appropriately punished, Mrs. Olson.
Well, I should hope so, Mrs. Ingalls.
Come on.
Poor Laura.
Poor Laura and poor Carolyn, man. Carolyn's got to go back in the kitchen and work with these people. It's just like, oh, yeah, it's just not good.
Yeah, but she was getting paid the equivalent of $40 a day, right? So,
right. No, $2 a day.
But I think it's the equivalent of $40.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes, you're absolutely correct.
So here we have Laura crying in the dark in the barn with the hay and Pa's stepping in to give a little bit of an emotional support, and we'll see what kind of advice he might have.
Hey, come on, there's nothing to be that upset about.
Yes, there is. Ma wanted me to march right over to apologize to Amonzo.
I just wanted to skip that, or rather, I did skip it. Ma said, well, you have one more person to apologize, and that's Aldama.
So, right!
Laura just bugged out, and she's like, there's no way, and she's like, I won't do it, you know, and she ran off.
Right. Always running. Yes. Always running.
Yeah, why not?
Like a baby. Well, I'm not a baby anymore.
Crying.
I'm a woman.
I know you're not a baby, but you're hardly a woman yet, half pint.
Oh!
You see? Half pint. Yeah. That's a name you give to someone who's little.
I've been calling you that ever since you were little.
But I'm not little anymore. Almanzo doesn't call me half pint.
Almanzo?
Yeah. He calls me Beth. It's a woman's nickname.
Oh, I see.
You never called Mary by a silly name like that.
Well, I never thought it was a silly name.
And I personally think that maybe he didn't love Mary as much.
Sorry, right.
Just
besides, Mary's older than you.
Besides, I don't love Mary as much.
Exactly.
Honey, Mary is married. She's a teacher.
I'm going to be a teacher.
All right, when you're a teacher, I'm sure everybody will treat you like an adult. But in the meantime, you're my little girl and you live in my house. And as long as you do, you're going to do what your ma and I tell you. Starting with apologizing to Almanzo. Is that understood?
Yes. Mama.
But let me do it alone, please. I don't want Ma with me, like I'm not big enough to do it by myself.
All right, I'll talk to you, Ma.
And he does talk to Ma when I guess there's a period of time when every father has this kind of conversation with their wives or the mother of their child, where the daughter's getting older and more mature. And this is one of the reasons why I'm so happy I didn't have a daughter. I don't think I could handle this type of thing.
Yeah, it must be very strange for men. It's like she's your little girl, and then all of a sudden she's developing, and she's becoming a young woman. I'm a woman, so I can't relate to how you guys think about that. But in my imagination, it must be hard.
Right. But here's what they're talking about in bed, in their twin size bed.
Right.
and of course, Charles is shirtless.
Of course.
At least now we know what all the fuss was about. Laura's in love.
What?
She's in love.
Oh, come on, Carolyn. She never said that.
It's as plain as the nose on your face.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, how old is he? The man must be in his 20s.
She wouldn't be the first girl to fall for an older man.
Oh, it's just puppy love. Surprised she'd even like a man that old. Why do you suppose he calls her Beth?
I don't know. Maybe she seems older to him.
Now, that is ridiculous. There'd have to be something wrong with him.
Charles, I believe you're jealous.
Jealous? I'm not jealous. Just a concerned father who's worried about some old man hanging around his daughter, calling her Beth and stuff like that. I don't think it's funny.
Charles, Almanzo Wilder is just a nice young man who's being nice, that's all.
Well, darn well better be all.
It is. Now go to sleep.
Night. Night. How old do you suppose he is?
Charles, go to sleep.
Beth. I don't understand why he calls her Beth. It's not even her name. You gotta call her Halfpipe.
You call me, Pa?
No. Your father's just having a nightmare.
Sure, I love it.
He's definitely having a nightmare. So she apologizes to Manly, Zaldama, sure, whatever.
Almanzo. Right.
Guy is he's more named than anyone else on Little House. And I think that Laura is falling head over heels and just getting more and more sure of herself. And realizing the things that she has to do to change in her life in order to be perceived as this, as an older person or a woman before her time.
Oh, absolutely. She's got that heart carved in that tree. And, you know, when I think about that, that one video that I put up on the Facebook page, that real intimate thing where Dean Butler and Melissa Gilbert go back to Simi Valley and they're reminiscing, I often wondered, I'm sure it's probably been cut down and burned in somebody's fireplace, but yeah. I thought, I wonder if that tree is still on that property with that. That would be like the coolest takeaway from Little House on the Prairie, to have that section of tree where she had, I know I'm crazy, but where she had that heart carved. And I think this episode is really special for women too. At least I know that it is for me, because it brings back all of those memories of, you know, having a crush on somebody and all the, you know, silly little things that you do trying to get time with that person. So it brings back a lot of my 14-year-old crush stuff.
Well, that's, you know, I think that was the point of it also. I think they convey it really well. Here we have a little bit of dialogue, thankfully, with Albert, played by Matthew Labrador.
Yeah, he's like Mary in this episode.
Well, Carrie had one line, from what I understand. We skipped it. You know, it's a 2-hour episode, so, you know, between the two episodes. And it's just, we can't cover everything. It's impossible. But if you're listening to this, you probably know the episode, and I'm sure you're going to watch it immediately.
Right.
One of these days, I would love to do a live watch, you know, and just kind of, we'll see how we'd be able to pull it off and kind of do a live commentary.
That would be awesome. And everybody could recite the dialogue. It's like people that go to the movie theater to see, you know, like Grease and stuff, where they sing all the songs with the screen. Yeah, we know it all. We know it all by heart.
But here we go. We're around the Ingalls dinner table, and we're talking about the day.
As soon as I graduate, I can take my teaching exam.
Your teaching exam?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to teach? You have students older than you are.
Well, Miss Wilder said there's no age limit.
Laura, children don't teach school. Adults do.
Well, you said that as soon as I was a teacher, I'd be an adult.
You're not old enough to be an adult.
Well, you said that you were out of school and working when you were 12 and that it made a man out of you. Didn't Pa say that, Albert? Yes, you did.
Albert, you're not in this conversation.
Poor Albert.
Yes, sir.
I was talking about going to work when I was 12. That was different. I was the man of the house. I was supposed to go out and support the family. It's not the same with women.
Now, just a minute. I do think it's a little hard for Laura to be teaching, but not because she's a woman. I know it's a sore spot with you, but a woman is supporting this family right now.
Oh!
That is true, Paul.
Albert, please.
All I want is a chance.
Poor Albert.
I thought you'd be proud of me trying to better myself instead of discouraging me.
Laura, we're not trying to discourage you.
Then let me try. That's all I ask, please.
It's a difficult test.
I have 2 weeks to study.
You don't even have your final year's books yet.
Blah, blah, blah. So, they can't afford the books, so they're trying everything they can to discourage Laura. It seems like they're really against her.
We is poor. Don't be doing that. No, we can't do that.
So Laura comes up with the idea that since Nellie took and passed this test, she could go to Nellie, who she just practically killed with cayenne pepper.
Yeah, I'm telling you, and only in optimism that Charlie Brown, trusting Lucy to hold that football, can understand, she goes to Nellie for help. Are you serious? And even Nellie says it. I can't believe you're asking me for a favor. And I can't believe it either.
Yeah, and I think that it's, I really don't have much to say about this, except it was really stupid. It was stupid on a number of levels. One, she did lend her the books, but she should have insisted on all of them. And I'm sure whoever's listening to this knows exactly why, but in the event you don't, follow along.
Oh, yeah. It's like, let me see. She's pretending like she's crippled. She's done this. Oh, my gosh, all the stuff that she's done to her. And she really thinks she's going to hand them over and be honest about it? No, no, no.
Right.
No, so, no. Not so Nellie.
Laura basically begs for forgiveness.
Nellie,
by the way, Nellie's eating something, and it's like, it looks pretty messy, and she's just eating.
It's cherry pie.
Oh, is it cherry pie? I didn't notice.
Yes. Right.
And it's like all over her mouth and everything. Yeah. It's like, what a lady.
I beg you to forgive me for what I did.
You are forgiven.
Now can I borrow the books?
I shouldn't let you, but I will. They're in the house. Won't be long, Mrs. Inglesby. Can you get along without me?
I'll do my best, Nellie.
Come on.
Oh, Nellie.
The books are right over here. Vocabulary and mathematics.
What about history? Miss Wilder said there'd be history.
She did. It's not true, you know.
What?
About the history. They told me that, too. And there wasn't any. I spent months studying, and there wasn't one question.
Now, that's where she should have just said, all right.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to believe Nellie over the teacher.
Yeah, absolutely not.
So what does Laura do? Because she's a dumb country girl.
Right, right.
She believes everything she's told. So she goes to take the test, studying for just what Nellie said to test. I mean, to study.
Yeah, vocabulary. That's where they get you.
Yeah. And she gets the test. She's looking through it and raises her hand.
Laura? Test. There's a lot of history on it. I told you there would be. These tests always have history. You'd better get started.
Country girls.
Look at the country girls.
It's her own fault. I don't feel bad on that particular one. She was, she deserved, Nellie deserved, Nellie had the right to retaliate, and Laura was just a sap, and she just fell for it.
Completely.
So Laura's very upset, clearly, because she did not pass that test. And she's out crying by a tree of some sort. Could be the tree that she carved her initials in with Zalmanos. And who comes walking by?
Yep.
My Laura, dear, what a surprise. Almanzo and I were just having lunch together. How did you do on the test?
It was all history.
You're joking.
Miss Wilder says they're always all history.
Well, now that I think back, maybe there was more history than I thought. I hope you're not angry.
Why should I be? It wasn't on purpose, was it?
Of course not.
Well, neither is this.
Uh-oh.
Yep. WWF.
But I will.
This is more of a visual thing. But they're in the mud, they're splashing around, and I'm going to guess that Alison Arngrim and Melissa Gilbert had a great time doing this.
Oh, I'm sure. At one point, Melissa, gets her right in the mouth with that mud.
Melissa Gilbert looks really pissed off.
Yeah, she wasn't playing.
So meanwhile,
she wasn't playing.
Meanwhile, back at Nellie's, the restaurant, you have Jonathan talking to Caroline with Charles in the kitchen. When all of a sudden...
In the kitchen!
I want you to come here and look at my daughter!
You think this is funny, do you? Your Laura did this!
What?
Yes.
She attacked me! Tried to kill me!
Why?
Because I saw her and Almanzo Wilder kissing!
Now, if there's one way to get somebody killed...
It's to
yell something like this out in front of their father.
And I told her I would tell.
You saw them kissing?
Now! They run off in his buckboard!
And if you... When she's saying this, if you look at Harriet, she's almost doing a little dance and grinning.
Oh, yes. She's just worst. Like this triumphant little wiggle to her shoulders.
Yes.
Yes.
Drove off in a buckboard, huh?
Towards his place.
Jonathan, I need a ride.
Charles, don't do anything in haste.
Haste? Oh, no, Carolyn, I'm not going to do anything in haste. I'm going to take all the time in the world while I beat Almanzo Wilder within an inch of his life.
Oh, boy.
Oh, brother, and even with a broken arm, Charles is, not a happy daddy.
No, but at the same time, he's really overreacting here. Jeez.
Yeah, he is.
But it doesn't look good when he gets there.
And this is the scene that makes me very uncomfortable.
Where Almanzo takes her back and...
Yeah, because why wouldn't he have just taken her back to her house? I mean, it is so intimate. They're in front of the fireplace. She's yeah. in his bathrobe.
Well, that's the way they'd heat back then.
I'm having a Here Come the Brides moment of the honeymoon night, like you had with,
I don't know.
With Nellie and Luke. It's just way too intimate for me.
I hear that. I completely hear that. But at the same time, I do think it was innocent. And I think I think the Almanzo character has been proven to not exactly be the brightest of characters.
Yes, and I'm so glad that you said that, because I think that Dean Butler was such a great choice for that, because Melissa Gilbert / Laura Ingalls was America's little sweetheart. And so imagine, I don't know how involved Susan McCrae, well, I mean, she normally was involved. She picked all the people for the roles. But think about how careful they had to be in the man that they picked. They didn't want him to be menacing or to look like a perv. I would love to ask Dean Butler that. Did you have to kind of downplay your maturity level? Especially in the Sweet 16 episode, it's almost like at a point she becomes, he's all veshmeckled because he's all confused about how he's feeling about her. And after that infamous kiss, it's like she almost appears to be the more, you know what I mean? It's like they had to be equally mature so you didn't get too icked out about it.
And, you know, I think Dean Butler played him masterfully.
Yes.
And I just really feel as though he played the dumb blonde very well.
Yes,
he because did. There are a number of times where he does things that he should have known better. For instance, the I'm forgetting the exact title of the episode, but when the circus was in town, and Annabelle, right. And he has, you know, he's with that girl, and it just seems, you know, he had to have known that Laura felt a certain way about him.
Right.
And she certainly let him know, maybe without his knowledge right away, that, you know, she cared for him by kissing him, of course, in clown makeup.
Right.
But I think that he really pulled this off in a very gingerly and perfect manner.
I completely agree. But I mean, think if he had been some big hairy chest, I mean, he had chest hair, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
if
he couldn't be Victor French. And I don't think you would get the same.
No.
But I think that he's like the, you know, he's a really, he's a great looking guy. He's very clean cut, all American.
Yes.
You know, and that's like a perfect choice for her. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's that scene where they're by the fire and he's about to make her a drink. No, I'm kidding.
I don't think that's Nelly coming.
Yeah, there's somebody at the door. By the way, Almanzo's house, which is actually also Eliza Jane's house,
right,
is a beautiful house, right?
Yes, it is.
It's strange. It's one of those things that I just think is so weird. How they live, they seem to have wealth and things.
Yeah, I mean, how much did teachers get paid when Laura was a teacher? $20 for the month with $10 in advance for initial expenses, if I'm remembering correctly. So I don't know. Maybe Eliza Jane was stashing away, because we find out in the Laura Ingalls Wilder episode that it is Eliza's house.
Right.
And then, you know, and yeah, so it's, I guess it's not even Almanzo's house. It was hers to give. That's how they represented it. It was hers to give it to them.
Yeah.
Right.
But here we go. Don't answer the door.
Bam. Yep.
Now you just stay out of this.
And he clocked him again.
I told you to stay out of this. Come on, Wilder, get up.
Charles, that's enough.
All right.
Poor Saldama.
Now maybe you'd like to explain to me what my daughter's doing here. In your robe. Maybe you'd like to explain that to me, huh?
Pa, I got in a fight and I got wet. Well, Marzo was just being nice.
I suppose he was being nice when he kissed you today, too, huh?
On the forehead. For luck on my test.
Didn't work.
Right.
What?
Kiss of death.
And this is basically where everything is, in Laura's mind, is like, oh, okay, just calm down. I love this man. He could do no wrong. And these words come out of his mouth, and you just see her face just drop.
You don't think that I Beth's just a little girl.
Mm.
She should have punched him.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you could have said.
Yeah. So it's very, you know, it's good, it's sad. I mean, it's all just very, it's the beginning of this strange relationship between these two.
Yes.
It's kind of like in The Office with Jim and Pam. If you ever watched The Office.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's the Jim and Pam of 1879.
Right.
So everything is fine. Laura goes back home, and she finally makes one last statement to Ma.
Uh-huh. I'm going to make Almanzo see me as a woman someday. Because I love him.
I think you will. But I wouldn't tell you about that just yet.
I won't.
So we have Pa sitting by the stream, wondering when his little girl grew up.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, he's got his shirt on and everything. He must be feeling
right, finally.
A little bit better. By the way, Laura is wearing 24/7 Almanzo's robe.
That's so funny that you say that. I thought if I was her and I was crushing, please, I'd never take that robe off. Monzo, you ain't never going to see that robe again.
Right, but she'll learn in a later episode that it was actually Eliza Jane's robe. No, I'm kidding. But here we go. This is, I guess, Plum Creek that they're sitting in front of.
Neither one of us had too good a day, did we?
No, I guess not. I really am sorry.
Me too.
You got nothing to be sorry about. It was all my fault.
It was both our faults.
It was more my fault than it was your fault.
Well, it was my fault before it was your fault. I had the fight with Nellie, but that was her fault.
Well, then it's neither one of our faults. It's Nellie's fault.
Yeah, it's Nellie's fault.
Oh, I love you.
I love you too, Pa. Have you had lunch?
Uh-uh.
Me neither. How about if I make us a picnic and we go fishing?
Yeah, that sounds good, Laura.
Half pint to you, Pa.
Sounds good, half pint.
And they're out.
And they're out. And they end with a close-up of that heart on the tree.
Well, actually, there's a little bit more dialogue I'm going to play. And I'm going to play out the music until the end of it. So,
all righty.
Jason didn't say anything.
I overstepped the little dialogue piece, but let's see if I can. I'm just going to let it play from here.
I took Ma's advice and didn't say anything more about Almanzo. I guess I knew I'd always be half pint to Pa, but I was just as sure I'd someday be Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Just makes me feel like applauding. It does. It makes me feel like breaking out into applause. Love it, love it, love it.
No, it was a very well done two-parter. As usual, the second part of it is usually much more story, a lot faster. paced with a little bit of fluff in between.
Right.
But, Susan, thank you very much for getting together this evening for these wonderful podcasts.
You're so very welcome. As always, it's just a joy. I just love it. I'm favorite podcast with my favorite podcast host. No offense to the Chris's.
Too many Chris's. No.
Yeah, too many Chris. My son's name is Chris.
Oh, really? It's a very common name. But so is Mark, so.
Well, there you go. And so is, well, actually, Susan's not. No, only people back in the 60s named their kids Susan. There's not too many Susans nowadays.
Well, it's not completely uncommon, but it's definitely not, what are we even talking about?
I don't know.
It's not Elmanzo.
But my middle name is Lee, just like Lucy Lee Flippin. So there you go. That proves I'm a real Little House fan.
Exactly. All right. Well, again, thank you so much for getting together for this episode. I'm going to play the little outro.
Alrighty.
And then end it up.
Okay.